Representative Bell?
Yes.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. Senate Bill 572 is passed to the floor. Representative Johnson, please carry that bill on the floor. Thank you. Close work session. Senate Bill 572. Open a work session. House Bill 2186. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2186 contains provisions which will allow the Department of Higher Education to adopt rules which will then allow them to immediately suspend a employee or a student who is on campus and posing an immediate threat, and then hold a hearing within 72 hours if requested by a student, or 15 days within the date of the emergency suspension. The problem that the committee was brought to the committee was that the institutions or the Department of Higher Ed does not have the ability to respond quickly to individuals who are posing threats because they are required currently to have a full contested hearing. This gives them the ability to have an expedited proceeding and then, or to act quickly and then hold the hearing.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Council.
There are dash two amendments that need to be moved.
Thank you. Representative Mannix.
I move the dash two amendments to simply incorporate what the committee subcommittee did.
Representative Mannix moves the dash two amendments, House Bill 2186. Their discussion, is there objection to the amendments? Hearing none, they are adopted. Further motion
Chairman
on the bill is amended. Representative Mannix?
I so move to the floor.
Representative Mannix moves House Bill 2186 as amended to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Further discussion, hearing none. Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2186 passed to the floor. Representative Mannix, carry the bill, please. Thank you. Close work session. House Bill 2186. Open a work session. House Bill 2193. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2195 sets up new procedures whereby the Department of Corrections or the Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities Division can obtain records of either inmates or clients when a lawsuit is brought alleging issues of health care. The other time that these would apply is when a personnel action, when an action has been brought against staff for potential abuse and there's information in the records, the new provisions would have to be filed or followed. And thirdly, it allows access to the files to do an evaluation in order to settle the case.
Thank you, Council. Discussion on House Bill 2193.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Sinceri moves the dash two amendments, House Bill 2193. Discussion, is there objection to the adoption of the amendments? Hearing none, they are adopted. Further discussion on further motion on the bill as amended.
Mr. Chair, move the bill as amended to the floor. Would you pass?
Representative Sinceri moves House Bill 2193 as amended. The floor do pass recommendation. Further discussion, hearing none. Clerk, call roll. House Bill 2193.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2193 is passed to the floor. Judge Parks, please carry the bill. Thank you very much. Close work session. House Bill 2193. Open a work session. House Bill 3521. Council?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3521, with the dash two amendments, was originally proposed by the Department of Justice and deals with their crime victims compensation program. The bill was amended to add some additional provisions, and what 3521 now does is allow the Department of Justice to delay processing claims on individuals who owe money to the courts and other places as a result of a previous criminal conviction. Also allows them to delay working on claims of persons who have been incarcerated. It also gives the department the ability to adopt rules for medical fee schedules in an attempt to moderate some of their costs. And finally, it has the amendments be effective to all pending claims when the provision is enacted.
Thank you, Council.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bauman.
Just a couple questions about the policy here. Is there going to be any sort of review behind this policy? My thought being that it is possible for the same person to be at different instances, both a perpetrator and a crime victim, the crime perpetrator and a crime victim. And what we're doing here is kind of saying that if you've committed a crime which involved restitution, let's say a 16-year-old was an accomplice in a criminal mischief which resulted in a fairly large amount of monetary damage. And now that that obligation can carry forth as a judgment against the juvenile into their adult life, this now becomes a juvenile, this juvenile is now paying this off at, let's say, $10, you know, a month, and is 22 or 23 years old and is brutally victimized, you know, and can't go back to the job where they're earning enough to support their lifestyle plus the $10 a month they're making in restitution. My understanding is we have locked that person out of even consideration for any compensation through the Crime Victims Fund because we have decided they're not as innocent as someone who is 22 years old, who had committed a crime when they were a juvenile, but whose parents helped them pay off the restitution amount.
Mr. Chairman.
Or, you know.
Representative Mannix.
My response is somewhat blunt. Yes, that's exactly what we're doing. We really can't deal with the scenario as to whether your mom and dad paid or whether the perpetrator paid, but there's a shortage of funds in the Victim Compensation Fund. We're looking for ways to try to stretch scarce resources, and we were looking at the unclean hands doctrine, that is, if you owed and you didn't pay, we don't know who paid for you. I mean, there's lots of times when other people may have had restitution requirements imposed and financial obligation imposed and someone else pays for them. We weren't going to get into that. We were just going to say, we haven't got enough money here anyway, and to that extent, yeah, you're going to take the back seat. And yes, that's the way it goes. Life is hard.
Yeah, I guess life is hard, and all those things that are kind of trite and cliche, I'm not going to participate in this one, not because I want to reward people who have ever in their life been a criminal, Representative Mannix, but because I don't think the cliche of, you know, once a criminal, always a criminal, or the new cliche that we're writing, once a criminal, we don't care if you are a victim or you become an undeserving victim, is one that I want to perpetrate. I think we could do better, and I'd be willing to work on something that would enable this policy to have eyes, but I don't want to initiate a blind policy.
Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion? Representative Mannix.
I move the dash two amendments.
Representative Mannix moves the amendments, the dash two amendments to House Bill 3521. Further discussion? Hearing none. Or is there objection to the dash twos? Hearing none, they are adopted. Further motion on the bill as amended. Representative Mannix.
Move the bill as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Mannix moves House Bill 3521 as amended to the floor. Due pass recommendation. Further discussion. Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum.
Yes.
Representative Bauman.
No.
Representative Bell.
Aye.
Representative Bryan.
Aye.
Representative Clark. Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Mannix.
Aye.
Representative Mason.
No.
Representative Parks?
No.
Representative Cinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 3521 is passed to the floor. Representative
Mr.
Mann?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to serve notice of a possible minority report.
Okay.
If I can
Let me close the vote on that. House Bill 3521 is passed to the floor. Representative Bauman serves notice possible minority report. House Bill 3521. Representative Mannix, would you carry this bill, please? Thank you. Close the work session, House Bill 3521. Open a work session, House Bill 3524.
Pardon, Mr. Chairman, just for the record, I'll join Representative Bauman on the prior bill, 3524.
All right. Thank you, Representative Mason.
It's her report, but I'll join.
That makes it extremely probable, Representative Mason. Now, House Bill 3524, open the work session. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3524, also deals with the criminal injuries compensation account, which funds the crime victims compensation program. It does a number of things and was also amended, in part to increase the funds available. The first thing that the bill does is allow the Department of Justice, on behalf of the fund, to become a judgment creditor against a judgment award, including punitive damages. In 1987, an amendment to the statute was passed, which required that one half of any punitive damage award would be paid to the fund. The Department of Justice is not able to collect those amounts, nor do they have standing under the statute, so this basically gives them standing to collect that. The second thing that this does is significantly increase the amounts of money that are assessed on convicted individuals that fund the account. Those amendments, and those are found in the dash two amendments on the bottom of page one and the top of page two. Those figures in the felony and misdemeanor and DUII assessments have not changed since the law was originally enacted in 1983. The third thing that the bill does is, if in fact the fee increases go up in order to increase the amount of money in the fund, it does allow a family of a sexual offense, adult sexual offense, to collect up to $2,000 in family counseling money.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Council. Representative Mannix.
I move the dash two amendments to the bill.
Thank you. Representative Mannix moves the dash two amendments, House Bill 3524. Discussion on the amendments. Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Further motion,
Chairman,
on the bill is amended.
I believe this has to go to Ways and Means. Am I wrong, Council? Because we're raising money here.
Oh,
so I move the bill as amended to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Referral to Ways and Means.
Want to send a revenue.
Unless, Mr. Chairman, if there's no referral requirement when we're raising money rather than spending money, that's my question. We're raising money here.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mannix, my understanding of the way Ways and Means works, which Tom was still here, I think it would be advisable under the circumstances for this bill to go to Ways and Means. I think that they will want to see what it is that the committee is proposing. They may not keep it for very long, but I think that they need to know that this has been done so that they can then begin to do the budgetary work that they
In the spirit of our new revitalized
we
process.
Also, Mr. Chair, Representative Madison, if I might, we don't know at this point either how much money this may raise. So I think that Representative Madison is correct.
I'd guess about $27 million.
Mr. Chair, I'll stand by the motion and to refer to Ways and Means as amended with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Mannix moves House Bill 3524 as amended. The move to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Baumann?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark? Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Judge
Representative
Park.
Sinceri?
Judge.
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Aye. Votes aye. House Bill 3524 as amended is moved to the Committee on Ways and Means. Close the work session, House Bill 3524. Open a work session, House Bill 2382. Council, explain this extremely interesting bill.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2382 is the Uniform Transboundary Pollution Reciprocal Access Act.
Well, you pronounce that exactly.
Easy for you to say that.
House Bill 2382 provides access to Oregon courts for out-of-state and Canadian residents for personal injury and property damage resulting from pollution which originates in Oregon. The Act has been drafted by the National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws and their Canadian counterparts, and so far has been adopted in three Canadian provinces, five American states. The reason I'm telling you this is because this act has no effect in Oregon but for residents of jurisdictions which have enacted the same or similar legislation.
Doesn't that include New Jersey?
In fact, Representative Baum, it does include New Jersey.
I thought.
Hey, we're being included piece of legislation.
This is your environmental vote of the session, right?
Sign me up.
In case there's a self-serve gas incident.
There are discussion. Yes. House Bill 2382.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Representative Mannix.
I move the bill unamended to the floor with a due pass.
Thank you.
Unamended.
Representative Mannix moves. That's significant in itself. Moves this bill unamended. House Bill 2382 to the floor. Due pass recommendation. Further discussion.
Are we bordered by a state that has enacted this?
Well, did you hear my
comment?
You don't have to be born in New Jersey.
It could be airborne.
We're all in this together.
I mean, I know New Jersey's running our waste from Metro to the dump, but beyond that.
Minnesota, I think.
Mr. Chair,
well, they're one of the lead states
Mason,
resisting self-service.
If you would like, I would be happy to run through the jurisdiction.
Well, no, just
have.
Washington.
No, sir.
Neither Washington, California, Idaho, nor Nevada has enacted this.
Well, New Jersey's a suburb of Oregon.
But I'll point out that British Columbia has.
Mr. Chairman.
Which may or may not make any difference.
Representative Mannix.
The point of this bill, of course, is that Oregon, once again, in the Northwest, is on the leading edge of environmental control.
That's right.
Turn the TV
on. I was going to say that.
Video this one.
No question we're on the edge. Any of the further discussion? Hearing none, clerk, call the roll.
Representative Baum.
Put this one on the bar.
Yeah.
Representative Bauman.
Aye.
Representative Bell.
Aye.
Boundary pollution.
Representative Bryan.
Aye.
Representative Clark.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Mannix.
Yes.
Representative Mason.
Aye.
Representative Cinceri.
Yes.
Chair Miller.
Vote aye. House Bill 2382 is passed to the floor.
Who needs something to mark in the environmentalist column?
You do.
How about the Oregon Conservation League of Voters? They'll
Representative,
have Representative
Boomer. Representative Mannix has shown as the carrier. You're doing that.
Let him be too important.
I get to carry these bills that have minority reports. Don't I ever get to carry a bill?
Well,
Representative Mannix, carry the bill on the floor, please. Thank you. Closed work session, House Bill 2382.
I was saying we could change our votes and put in a minority report on that. What you come up with.
Open a work session, Senate Bill 214. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 214, A. Engrossed, was introduced at the request of the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. I think it's probably best to call it a housekeeping bill. Current law states that if an individual is to be moved from active to inactive parole, that they have to demonstrate exemplary behavior. That is a relatively high standard for anybody, let alone felons. What this does is allow the board to substitute objective criteria and require that the parolee substantially comply with those conditions of active supervision.
Thank you, counsel. Is there a discussion? Senate Bill 214.
Mr. Chairman.
Motion. Representative Mannix.
Move the bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Mannix moves Senate Bill 214 to the floor. Due pass recommendation. Further discussion. Hearing none. Clerk, call roll.
Representative Baum.
Yeah.
Representative Bauman.
Aye.
Representative Bell.
Aye.
Representative Bryan.
Aye.
Representative Clark.
Aye.
Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Mannix.
Aye.
Representative Mason.
Aye.
Representative Cinceri.
Aye.
Chair Miller.
Votes aye. Senate Bill 214 passes the floor. Judge Parks will carry the bill on the floor. Closed work session, Senate Bill 214. Open work session, Senate Bill 216. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, currently the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision has the ability to release individuals who have been sentenced either in an indeterminate sentence before sentencing guidelines or on a sentencing guidelines term if they are terminally or severely medically ill for humanitarian reasons. They very specifically do not have or don't have statutory authority to do this for individuals who have been sentenced under the gun minimums, though they don't anticipate that this would be used very often. It does give them consistent authority to release all individuals. And this specifically deals with individuals sentenced under the gun minimums.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Boom.
They shoot horses, don't they? Move right along.
Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion. Representative Mannix.
Move Senate Bill 216 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Mannix. Move Senate Bill 216 to the floor, due pass recommendation. Further discussion.
I think I'm going to change my vote.
Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion. Representative Mannix.
I will mention that not only does this allow some freedom for the Board of Parole for humanitarian reasons, which I think they should be given some discretion when someone has a terminally ill illness, but if someone's trying to be practical about this too, the Board of Parole may look at the fiscal impact if someone's undergoing very expensive therapy for a terminal condition. We have to pay for it as long as they're in the institution.
How about the prohibition against them possessing firearms?
I'm trying to give people a practical reason for supporting this as well as a humanitarian reason.
Some comments are helpful, and then there are other comments. Are there further
shoot horses, don't
but
they?
If we don't spend
further
the money. Anyway. The question has been called for. All right. Senate Bill 216. We call the roll and do pass recommendation.
Representative Baum.
Yes.
Representative Bellman.
Aye.
Representative Bell.
Aye.
Representative Bryan.
Aye.
They shoot horses, don't they?
Representative Clark.
They break a leg.
Aye.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Mannix.
Aye.
I'm sorry. Representative Mannix.
Aye.
Representative Mason.
Aye.
Representative Sinceri.
Aye.
Chair Miller.
Votes aye. Senate Bill 216 passed the floor. Representative Mason, Honorable Professor Mason. Thank
promise
you.
Not
carry
to say
the bill
anything
on the floor.
Yeah, please, Representative Mannix.
Close work session. Senate Bill 216. Open the work session. House Bill 3005. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what House Bill 3005 does is place in statute an exemption for parole and probation officers who have been specially trained to not need a concealed weapons license, therefore allowing them to carry a concealed weapon without going through the permit processes. There were two primary issues raised to the committee. One is the current discrepancies in practice around Oregon as to whether or not parole and probation officers are in fact peace officers, and whether or not, if they are found to be peace officers, whether or not they are then exempt from the requirement that they have a license. This would clarify whether or not they are or not, because it wouldn't be necessary. The other issue that was raised was the desire on behalf of the parole and probation officers to have the ability to carry weapons without the necessity of getting a license.
Thank you, Learned. And Representative Clark.
I'll move House Bill 3005 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and briefly to that motion.
Representative Clark moves House Bill 3005 to the floor, due pass or dash twos have
need to be
move the dash two amendments.
Adopted. Representative Clark moves the dash two amendments to House Bill 3005. Further discussion of the amendments. Is there objection? Hearing none, they are adopted. Further motion on the bill is amended. Representative Clark moves House Bill 3005 as amended to the floor, due pass recommendation. Representative Clark, to your motion.
Just briefly, Mr. Chair, this issue was dealt with by this committee last session, and there was some agreement to sort of wait and see how the different counties and the Department of Corrections did with it. At least in my county, the situation's a mess, and these folks are out there dealing with some very, very difficult characters who in a properly functioning criminal justice system would be behind bars, either they're out on parole or on probation. And to engage in an argument, as some have, as to whether or not parole and probation officers are doing law enforcement or rehabilitation seems to me to be an artificial distinction, and I think these folks ought to have the ability to protect themselves. And the subcommittee, I appreciate this, made sure the requirement in there that they go through BPSD certified training programs. I don't know what else you can do to try and make this a tight program but protect these folks.
Thank you, Representative Clark. Representative Breon.
There is one other thing that can be done, and the committee discussed, and I think I'd like to put in the record at this level, that nothing in this bill prohibits the managing agency, whether it be the Corrections Division or a county program, from establishing rules and regulations governing the use and the type of additional training and type of weapon and the ownership thereof and so forth, so that management still has prerogatives on rules and controls of the weapons.
But thank you. Thank you, Representative Bryan. Further discussion on the bill? Representative Bauman?
I voted yes in subcommittee. I'm going to vote no. I probably have just troubled myself too much over this policy. I had, in fact, been given responsibility for changing one vote in subcommittee from no to yes, based on my dynamic persuasive abilities. Talked myself into it, too.
Yeah, that was a couple days back, though. That was 3 days ago.
Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Chair. I figure that's enough explanation for my no vote.
Thank you, Representative Bauman. We'll see if the earlier moved member moves back with you. All right.
Well, and those of you who are keeping track might want to note what my vote on the floor is. So keep it a secret.
Thank you. Further discussion, House Bill 3005 is amended. Hearing none. Clerk will call the roll, House Bill 3005.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
No.
Representative Bell?
Keep her busy, Kelly.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
I have nothing to say.
Representative Clark?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason? Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 3005 is passed to the floor. Representative Sunseri will be asked to carry that bill. Thank you. Close the work session. House Bill 3005.
Mr. Chair.
That wraps up the matters on our schedule for today. Representative Clark.
Representative Sunseri, other members of the Family Justice Committee, we have a short agenda. I would love to get the Family Justice Subcommittee out of here at 4 o'clock, but I can't do it if we can't start in about 10 minutes. Yeah. So please be back, and we will get out of here by 4 o'clock.
Any further business come before the full committee? Learned councils?
Okay. That's fine.
I'd like to thank council for arranging the meeting today with the legislative fiscal officer. I think that was very beneficial for all of us, that one, and including your meeting before this morning. Any further business, Representative Boomer?
No funny business, Mr. Chair.
All right. With that, we are adjourned.